Well, good morning, Lakeside. It's a pretty quiet good morning after that word from the Lord. You know, as you look around today, I just want to start this message off by saying this. As you look around today, you'll notice and you'll see that we here at Lakeside, we don't practice head coverings, okay? However, this passage is bigger than the concept of head coverings. And we're going to be looking at the principles that are in this passage behind this and behind Paul's words to the Corinthians. You know, Paul starts, so I'd encourage you, if you haven't yet, I'm going to do it myself here, but if you haven't yet, open up to 1 Corinthians 11 so you can put your eyes on God's word, because it's his word, not mine. And as Paul starts off this section today, he comes to a section and he's getting ready to, you know, correct the Corinthians in a certain thing. And before he does so, he does the thing that a lot of us are taught to do and we do with our kids and those things. And that is, he commends them first for something, right? And so right away in the first verse, it says, "Now I commend you because you remember me." It says, "You remember me in all things," he's commending them for, "and that they are maintaining the traditions as Paul has delivered to them." And then, so he then changes gears to something that he desires that they give full attention to. He says that in verse 3, "But I want you to understand this. I want you to give your full attention to, because ultimately here, the good news of Jesus is at stake." And to address the elephant in the text, so to speak, about head coverings, Paul starts addressing a very specific issue in the church at Corinth that is keeping them from ascribing worth to Christ. It's affecting their worship. Paul is zooming in on exactly what is happening in Corinth. The Corinth believers, we have to understand these things. This will help us understand the text and then be able to spend the rest of our time looking at the principles there. But the Corinthian believers, you have to remember, were saved out of paganism. But they were still holding on to practices of the culture. And Paul, what he's doing here, and he's giving the Holy Spirit ammunition to do, is to pry their hands off of paganism so that they would be different for the sake of the good news of Jesus. Now, in that culture, here's the thing. The men, when they went to go worship the false gods, they would take a hood or part of their cloak and they would put it over their heads when they went in to their pagan worship. The women at this time, in the pagan worship, there is a big part of the pagan worship in Corinth where the women who worked in the temple were prostitutes, and the prostitutes would not only have their head uncovered, but their hair would be totally shaved. The women also in this time, in this culture, they were the ones who were married. It was a symbol of their marriage to have their head covered in that culture. But there were many women in that time that were like, "Well, we want to kind of just put ourselves out there and show that we're available to other men, even though we're not." And so they would uncover their head. And so this idea of head coverings is all for the way the pagan women and the men, pagan men would worship their pagan gods. And Paul addressed the specific issue that was unique to the church in Corinth. But for our purpose today, the principles surrounding it and we find in this text are going to ring true for us. And since this is written by the inspiration of God for us believers, it has a message for each one of us today through those principles found in this text. I will say, though, my message today is not entitled, as one preacher said, "Women's Hair, the Long and Short of It." Nor is it entitled with the heading that you have in your ESV Bible or in your other Bible where it says head coverings. My message today and the title of this message today is this: Gospel revealing roles. Gospel revealing roles. Would you join me as I pray and ask God to use this word in our lives today? Father God, thank you so much for the joy it is to take a book of your word and preach through it verse by verse, line by line. And thank you that all over Scripture, we see Jesus. And Lord, as we look at your word today and look at these principles, God, would you use them in many people's lives in this room to give them a beautiful picture of the good news of Jesus, and then would you have them surrender fully their life to you and go from death to life today and be rid of their sin and have Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then those of us who know you, Lord, and who have trusted you and put our full weight on you for our rescue that we desperately need from sin, help us to lean into what you're saying here and to lean into it so much that it causes us to see Jesus more and to be more in love with Jesus today than we were when we walked in today. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Help me to get out of the way now, and you use your spirit in my life, use your word in my life, and in all of our lives today to change us in our hearts. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. So right now, I want to say, as you do each and every Sunday, whoever's up here in the pulpit, I just want to encourage you today that you make sure you listen to the entirety of this message. And it's easy in a text like this. I'm sure as LB was reading it, your mind was going every which way, okay? I'm sure that was happening. It's so easy to get distracted by any one little point. And I don't want that to happen today because there is something huge in here that we need to grab a hold of and will change my life and it will change your life today. And so today we're going to look at these gospel-revealing roles. Biblical manhood and biblical womanhood is the principle that surrounds this text, that's in this text. And so as we look at gospel-revealing roles today, we're going to look at five. We're going to look at the created roles. We're going to look at celebratory roles. We're going to look at complementary roles. We're going to look then at calming roles. And then we're going to look at calculated roles. So those are the five that we're going to discuss from the text this morning. So will you join me as we look at number one? Number one is created roles. And this comes off right away at the beginning of our passage in verse 3 and then later on. So verse 3, Paul makes this statement. I want you to understand, I want you to give full attention to that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Now that last part, head of Christ is God, they are equal. They're both God. And yet Christ, as we're going to see, submitted himself to the Father God and completed his role. And the same thing rings true for men and women. We have distinct roles that were there right from the beginning. It's the way it has been from creation. In verse 8, we see that woman was made from man. In verse 9, we see woman was created for man. And that calls us back to look back at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, at the creation of the world, God saw after he created Adam from the dirt of the ground, he saw that Adam was alone in his creation, and it was not good. There was no perfect help for Adam. And so God causes a sleep to fall on Adam, and he takes a rib from the side of Adam to show that this created being would be equally valued and equal before God alongside Adam. And woman was created to be the helper fit for Adam. And before you get up in arms that I'm implying that a helper is a demeaning role, I want you to look with me at Psalm chapter 33 and verse 20. Because the word back in Genesis 2, where it talks about Eve and describes Eve as the perfect help for Adam, uses the word help. Psalm 33:20, God uses this word as well. And he says this, our soul waits for the Lord. For he, God, is our help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. God uses the same word here for himself as he uses to describe the role of the woman. This is not a demeaning lesser role. This is a vital role that when it comes to God, I am eternally grateful that he is my help and my shield. Amen? And I am eternally grateful for the violin player this morning, my wife, who is my perfect helpmeet given to me by God. The core meaning, I want you to get this, men and women, the core meaning of the role of helper does away with the worldly, fleshly idea of male self-sufficiency, and it totally destroys the lie from the pit of hell of female insignificance. Verses 14 to 15 go on to tell us that even nature, it says, even nature, the way God set it up from the very beginning, is that for the majority of women will have longer hair and for men will have shorter hair. It is how they are made, how they are designed, how are they created. Pastor John MacArthur notes that the male hormone testosterone speeds up the loss of hair in men. No amens there, guys. It's the truth. Estrogen causes women's hair to grow longer and for a longer time. Women are rarely bald when you look in nature, no matter how old. This is reflected in most cultures in the custom of longer hair on women and shorter hair on men. Now, there are acceptable exceptions. Okay, there are acceptable exceptions to the norm, but what really matters, once again, as we're getting into the heart of the text, is the motive of the heart, which is what we're targeting today and what we're getting after. Remember, this is how it was created in the beginning, and God said it was good, it was perfect, because sin had not entered the picture at this point. Men should appropriately look like men, and women should appropriately look like women. One writer said this: there should be no gender or cultural confusion. What a critically important word for our day, amen? If we believe that God is the creator, which we unashamedly do, then we have to recognize him as complete owner of it all, including our own gender that's been given to us. And because he is creator owner, we need to embrace the role which God has gifted us, whether that be biblical manhood or biblical womanhood. So it is a created role. These are created roles that we're talking about today. Not only that, but we see that they're celebratory roles. They're celebratory roles. Look in verse 4 with me what Paul says. In verse 5, he says, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. So Paul says in verse 4 and verse 5 that every man and every woman who approaches worship of the one true God in the same way that they approached pagan worship in their past without Christ, then they dishonor the head who is ultimately Christ. Now, I know it says women dishonor their husbands, and that's true, but you got to play it all the way through. Women dishonor their husband's head, but they also then ultimately dishonor Christ, who is the head over them all. Every man and woman who goes with the culture and against these God-given roles ultimately dishonors the head, who is Christ. But think with me about this positively. Think about it positively with me this morning. Every one of us then who embraces biblical manhood and biblical womanhood actually
celebrates God and the good news that he has rescued us from our sin and has given us a bigger purpose that maximizes his fame and gives us genuine peace and satisfaction. That's something we're celebrating, amen? Absolutely. We have just sang about it. We have such a good God. So thankful that we get the opportunity to embrace our manhood, our womanhood, so that we can give him glory, so we can make him famous, and so that we get genuine peace and satisfaction. So they're created roles, they're celebratory roles, this womanhood and manhood. They're also, number three, they're complementary. They're complementary roles. And this is verses 11 and 12. If you look at the text with me, Paul says, "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man now is born of woman, and all things are from God." Paul says here that woman is not independent from man, nor man of woman. Woman was made from man in the beginning, but ever since Eve was created, guess where men came from? They come from the women. Praise the Lord for our moms, amen? And so this is a glorious interdependence between man and woman that God created. And God's given us, and it's made to complement one another. So would you allow me the time today, just for a brief moment, to go and give you a quick overview of what biblical womanhood looks like and biblical manhood looks like? Let the scripture speak for itself today. Here is God's word, not my word. Women, let's talk to you first. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Just let the scripture speak for itself. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Titus chapter 2. 3-4, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And then from 1 Peter 3, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they don't even believe in Jesus, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. And then later on in verse 5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. This is how they made themselves beautiful, by submitting to their own husband. A wife is responsible to submit to her husband. This is the biblical womanhood role, is submission to follow. Now listen carefully though. This is to be done gladly, not grudgingly or mindlessly. I am so thankful for the intelligence in specific areas that God has given to my wife that he did not give to me. Because in my 26 years of marriage, my wife, with her unique understanding and perspective, has helped me to avoid a lot of mistakes and a lot of hurt. She completes me. She completes me. And here at Lakeside, God has gifted us with godly women who complete this local expression of Christ's body. I've seen it in Kids for Truth. Praise God for the godly women who teach our kids at Kids for Truth. What a blessing it is to have them and have godly women who embrace their God-given role of biblical womanhood. Men, let's talk with you a little bit and with myself. Let the scripture speak for itself here as we read Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you. They're equal heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And then Colossians 3, 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. In the context of the church, which is where what this is written in 1 Corinthians, God calls men biblically to be the pastors, elders, and deacons in the church, to lead the church. And that springs from this the marriage relationship. The husband is the head. Men, biblical manhood is headship, lead. This does not mean that a husband or man is better than his wife, or that he may selfishly treat his wife or women in a harsh or domineering way. He is called by God, we just read it, to lovingly lead his wife and be a loving sacrificial leader in the church. It's been said from this pulpit by our lead pastor, and I believe that it is true, that we have more spiritual women than men in our church. Men, I'm not going to call you out today, but can I call you and me up today? Can I call you and me up today? When it comes to leadership and biblical manhood, here's what I don't mean and here's what I mean in one picture. I don't mean that you and I get to sit on the top of the mission that we're on and we just order everybody else around in front of us to pull and tug and do all the work. What I mean and what God means is that you get out in front. You get out in front. You outrun everyone, men. You outrun your wives. You outrun everyone to knowing Jesus and him crucified. And then you pull and you encourage behind you. Let's go, let's go. Let's know Jesus and him crucified. Let's get after the mission so we can make him look like the one true God that he is. So this short overview of how these are complementary roles, and the interdependency that we have between men and women, it causes me to remember a wise verse in the Bible because it came from God through the writing of Solomon. And it's Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And this rings true for our marriages, and this rings true in our local church. Man, husband, you embrace your God-given manhood, biblical manhood. Woman, wife, you embrace your God-given biblical womanhood. And as you do that, you link together because they complement one another. And then you make Christ the middle of it. You add him as the third string in the rope. And good luck getting that apart. You will not tear that apart. Guarantee it. So thankful for the complementary roles that we have as men and women. And not only that role, but the number four, calming roles. Calming roles. At the end of this passage, Paul gives a warning. He says, if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, and all the churches of God have no such practice. From when sin entered the world, there's been contention with the biblical manhood and biblical womanhood roles. Has there not? Have you felt that? I have. There's been this constant contention. The word contentious means fond of strife. Like, really love strife. I just love it. That's the idea of contention. But once again, think positively about this with me this morning. These roles that God gave us as biblical men and biblical women, he gave us these roles so that it would bring unity in the body of Christ, which causes the church to burn bright for Christ. These roles bring calm in a marriage. They keep marriages on point, fulfilling the purpose, which is to make much of Christ and to show Christ's relationship with this church. And they bring great calm in a marriage, believe me. And they bring great calm to a church because they're God-given biblical roles. So they're calming roles. And then last today, I want to talk about how they're calculated roles. And this is where we zoom way out and get the 30,000 foot view, and it makes all the difference. These roles that Paul is talking specifically about and addressing a specific issue within the roles here in 1 Corinthians 11, they're bigger than any of us. So allow me to put out the big picture for you today. In the sovereign mind and of the sovereign hand of God, these roles were designed from the very beginning. We looked at it. From the very beginning, God, wanting to display his matchless glory and his endless fame, he reached down to the dirt. He reached down to the dirt and he formed man. And then he took man's rib and from the side and made woman. He then, in that perfect garden, he enjoyed perfect relationship with them. These roles of biblical manhood and biblical womanhood were perfect, and they were there right at the beginning of it all. And then woman was deceived and sinned. And Adam, following the woman, willingly sinned. And the perfect relationship and the perfect roles that they had enjoyed were gone. And then sin procreated through rest of humanity. And all seemed lost. But God. Amen? But God sent his eternal son, Jesus, as the offspring of the woman, a virgin birth conceived by the Spirit, so that he would be completely God, righteous and completely man, who is tempted and tried in every way that we are, but without sin. He did it perfectly. And men and women, listen. And while we were yet sinners, he sacrificially led. And as we were still sinners, as a suffering servant, he submitted himself to the Father's will. Death in our place on the cross was the Father's will. And then because God accepted that sacrifice, he raised Jesus from the dead so that if we would admit that we are a sinner, and if we would put our full weight on Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can go to the Father except through him, we will be rescued from our sin, and we will have abundant life and eternal life. And then get this, and then as men and women come to know Jesus, as we surrender all to Jesus, God gives us these roles of biblical men and biblical women to reveal the gospel to more men and women. From before the foundations of the earth, God calculated it all, and he knew his glory would be maximized in it in it all, especially in these specific roles of biblical men and biblical women. Do you see it? It is so much bigger than being a man and being a woman. Brother, first and foremost today, after we go through these points here, first and foremost, I have to ask every single one of you, I wish I could come down there and look at every single one of you in the eye, because this is our passion. This is what drives Lakeside, and that's this. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I plead with you. There is no other way you can be rescued and have eternal life other than admitting to God that you are a sinner and that Jesus lived the perfect sinless life in your place and then died in your place, taking the full wrath of God for your sin and mine. And then by rising again, he has opened up this glorious rescue for you personally. And I would say to you, come to Jesus right now where you're sitting. Just tap out and come to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, my believers, when it comes to these roles of biblical manhood and womanhood, I believe, and I find this true in my own heart, in my own mind, that in order to help me with my doing problem, I need to fix my meditation problem. Paul writes to Timothy, towards the end of his life, he's writing to young Timothy, a pastor, and he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, remember Jesus Christ. And that word remember is call to mind continuously. Bring Jesus Christ in your mind continuously. Remember Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, and you're going to see the roles here, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He was equal, but then he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He decided to serve and humble himself, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself and he became obedient. Even though he's equal with God, he became obedient to his Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen very carefully, men and women. Here it is. Jesus, and brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus was the perfect sacrificial leader. And he was the perfect submitted servant, which is what we're called to be as men and women. Unmarried men in this room, young guys. Meditate on Jesus. Meditate on Jesus sacrificing all for you and embrace the role of headship by seeing the ways all around you can lead by sacrificing for others. And as you do this, you'll be preparing to be the husband God wants you to be if he wills that you get married. He definitely, though, is going to be making you into the leader, the future generation of manly leaders, godly leaders in our church here at Lakeside, as you meditate on Jesus sacrificing all for you. Unmarried women, meditate on Jesus. Meditate on Jesus submitting to the Father and going to the cross for you. And look to see how you can be a submitted servant to those around you. And as you do this, God will be preparing you to be the wife that God wants you to be if he wills that you get married. But he's definitely preparing you to be the godly woman that we're needed and the submitted servant that is needed in this church so we can be a bright light for the gospel. Married men, myself included, meditate on Jesus. Meditate on Jesus giving himself fully as a sacrifice when he had every reason and every ability to just be done with sinners and be done with me. Brothers, lead by giving yourself up to your wives and families and others in the body of the church. Jesus did it for you. Meditate on Jesus. Married women, meditate on Jesus. Meditate on Jesus, submitting himself to the Father by becoming the suffering servant at the cross for you, so that you can be the joyful submitted servant to him first, then your husband, kids, and Christ's local church. Those sisters in Christ who have unbelieving husbands, let me tell you, we see you. We see you. God sees you. And we pray that God will do exactly what he says in his word, that he will win your husband to himself because of your fulfillment of your God-given role. Please don't grow weary in doing that. Please don't grow weary in it. So in our text today, Paul has addressed these roles because they were causing a worship problem. The people there were embracing their own ideas about their manhood and their womanhood. The men and women were being held back by their own pride from ascribing worth to their precious Savior. And I know, because I've lived and I'm a sinner, I know that the majority of strife in my marriage and in our church comes when we meditate on ourselves and not on Jesus, our head. And I would say this, that the greatest enemy of true, genuine, corporate, and personal worship is our default to make much of ourselves instead of making much of Christ. And in a moment, Josh is going to come up here with the band, and they're going to lead this great song. We're going to sing it out. It's a song that says, it's a song entitled, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. And as we sing that song today, and then as we live this week in these glorious, God-given, God-designed, blood-bought roles, remember Christ. And allow that meditation through the Spirit to transform you into a true Christ worshiper in your role as a biblical man or a biblical woman. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your glory. Thank you for Christ. And the beauty of Jesus. Thank you for these roles that you have given us in being a man or being a woman, Lord. Thank you that it's a gift from you. And it's all designed to maximize your glory and to lead others into relationship with you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, I pray for the one or many in here today that when I ask that question, if they know Jesus, the answer was no. Lord, I pray that in the quietness of these moments, in this little time right now, right where they're sitting, that they would admit that they are a sinner. And that they would just give their lives to you because you bought their lives on the cross. And they would surrender all right where they are. And Lord, for my brothers and sisters in this room, God, thank you so much for the roles of biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. And Lord, may we embrace our role that you've given us. May we embrace it as much as Christ embraced following you and sacrificially leading and then submitting himself to death on a cross. Lord, cast our minds all throughout this week. Call our minds and our hearts to think about, to remember Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that we can be the burning light that you want us to be in this dark world. We love you today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.